Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
First of all, you know, we did go to the playoffs, won the division, so it wasn't like we were total show, even though maybe the perception, you know, we have one terrible year. But I think also, you know, the important thing is you need high-level quarterback play. And at the end of the day, 2020 wasn't a great season offensively for us. And I think from for us, we know how important it is to be successful on offense. And I think that's part of it. You know, you need high-level play on offense. You need to be able to score points. So I think that's part of it. It's not only like, hey, we made this bad move here, or we brought in this, and this didn't work out. It's also realizing, like, that doesn't change. That formula doesn't change you.
Welcome back. Midday Show, Sports Radio 94 WIP. Hugh Douglas, Joe Gilio, the voicer, of course, of Howie Roseman, talking at the NFL owners' meetings. I don't know if you guys heard that in the background. There was a bus. He was just running over Carson Wentz there over and over. I mean, my goodness. I mean, he basically, I guess it's enough removed now, Hugh, because they were pretty the Eagles really didn't say anything bad about Wentz. Like, you know, Lurie, Howie, they really didn't, even though they probably wanted to when he left here. I guess that we're enough removed from it now that he basically just blamed the fact that they didn't sustain the Super Bowl window on the quarterback. I mean, that's what that was.
Everybody's just been unleashed on this guy. Man. I mean, Ron Rivera, Jim Irsay, I mean, the guy can't win.
Oh, he's right, too. he's stuck.
He was a bad guy, man. I mean, and from what I've heard, is that, you know, they did a great job early on of hiding the fact that he was a bad guy. Hate to say it now. Hate when people come out and talk about how bad a person was after the fact. But I heard a lot of bad stuff about him before it went south. Really, really did. And so it was one of those things where, you know, when you hear them, they can't help but to rave about Jalen and how he is, mm-hmm. and the kind of personable person he is, because they lived through that. I mean, man, when I tell you that I heard, it was so bad that when you asked people, when you mentioned his name to people, they were so not wanting to say anything bad about him, they just changed the subject. You know it's bad.
That is bad.
You know, when you talk about somebody and say, so how is so-and-so? And they'd be like, well, hey, yeah, the weather today is beautiful in Philadelphia. They don't even want to talk about it. They don't even want to talk about it because, you know, being on the other side now, being a reporter, they don't want their name associated with anything.
Well, sure. And partially because with Wentz, I guess the consensus idea was that he's a little sensitive and something like that could totally break him, right? Yeah. Like if it got out that somebody in the organization was saying something like that behind his back, I guess it did. We saw it kind of happen in 2018 with the Alshon stuff, the Santa Liquido article. I mean,
yeah. I mean, I think part of the reason they paid him early was to make him feel better after Foles took a team on a second playoff run. They paid him off a broken back and a bad knee.
Like, not hurt his feelings.
Yeah. I mean, in retrospect, it's kind of crazy when they gave him that deal and it obviously turned bad. But it's interesting because Howie and Jeff keep getting asked, like, are you guys worried? Do you have a plan? Do you think this time will be different? Because last time there was a Super Bowl, it didn't work out the next few years, right? The team went backwards. You paid the quarterback, team went backwards. So Howie basically twisted it. They were like, well, actually, we were pretty good, except the quarterback play wasn't good enough. Jeff Lurie, basically, a little more diplomatic, but he said the same thing. Here's Jeff Lurie on why they're not worried about the quarterback play and paying a quarterback and still winning. Here's what he said yesterday.
We've seen teams do it. We're challenged to be one of those teams. I think the most important aspect of that is to have the right quarterback. Assuming you have the right coach, the right staff, the right general manager, their staff, the right culture, all that goes into all the resources necessary. But then, you know, you've got to have, I think it's so helpful to have a dynamic quarterback who's a great leader, a special person, and someone that is so hungry, and not just to win it once, but to win it multiple times and obsessed.
That's it.
That's Jalen Hurts in a nutshell. Mm-hmm. That's him in a nutshell. And the fact that, you know, we use this word a lot on the station this morning, selfless. Like the selfless acts. I read somewhere that Jalen Hurts is here in town working out like a beast.
I'm sure he is.
Working out like a beast. I can't, like, and this is nothing that you have to do. I mean, and I'm not, you know, you don't have to do it, so I'm not trying to compare and contrast with anybody. But the fact that you're here, a lot of quarterbacks, think about that. They're not in the city that they play in most
especially
of the time.
Especially if it's not a warm weather, beautiful city. Like, yeah. It's one thing to stay in Los Angeles if you play for the Rams.
Man, listen.
I mean, I like Philadelphia, but there's nicer climates. Yeah,
because I, as a player, I used to go back to Georgia every year. But I worked, you know, I worked out with like Shannon Sharp and guys like that. So I had a good group of people to work out with. But to be here and to be with your teammates, because Jordan Mulata's here, I'm pretty sure that there's a lot of people still here. I'm assuming that Brandon Graham's still here. These guys are getting it in. Mm-hmm. They're getting it in right now. That to me is amazing. Because, you know, we had guys when I played, you know, we all got our workouts in. I think Doc was in Florida somewhere. I think stayed up here for a little bit, but everybody went their own ways. And, you know, you would come back when it was time to come back and you got together and everybody would see where, you know, you were, how your workouts were going, whatever. But it sounds like these guys, man, they're here. They're here working out. Cause you know, you're just hearing it in passing. Yeah. So-and-so was in here working out today. Jason Kelce was in here, got a workout this morning. These guys are committed to their craft. They're committed to the goal that they've set forth. So it's great to hear that they're all here in town, and especially you when you hear the quarterbacks here. That's great.
Yeah, well, Hurts is a Houston guy, so he's a warm weather guy. He could be back there if he wanted to.
And I tell you what, if I lived in Houston, you wouldn't see me here. Like, I love Philadelphia. I came back from Atlanta.
Good morning, Atlanta.
I came back from Atlanta. Now, let's not get it twisted. But, boy, H-Town. Well, it's nice.
The other thing I've
– and it's sundress season.
James Harden would agree with you 100% there.
Jesus. Fix it.
So, I just, before you go on, if the Phillies have an Astros rematch of the World Series, we do shows. We're gonna. Hugh's not coming back.
No. Hey, listen. No, we can come back, but I got family down there, man. We can go hang out. There's a couple spots we can hit.
We lost Hugh.
But I'm just saying, there's a couple spots.
I did find it interesting though, because Jeffrey Lurie obviously listed all the things that he loves about Jalen Hurts, but there are coincidentally all things that Carson Wentz is not. He's a leader, hungry. Carson Wentz was stubborn in the coaching, like he was uncoachable and he just wasn't a leader. I mean, it was clearly obvious that he was not the leader of that locker room.
They keep making it clear, like, they're not worried about paying Hurts because he's different. Like, that's the message. They keep saying it in five different ways.
And he's
ways.
Not a narcissist yet.
let's hopefully that yet holds off for a while longer.
You know what? If he becomes a narcissist, let it be after like two Super Bowl
yeah,
wins.
That's fine. Yeah,
you know what I mean? Because listen, man, most quarterbacks are. And it's refreshing to see that it feels like Jalen is not trending in that direction. We still got a lot of time left, though.
Yeah,
it's necessarily not a bad thing. No, we got a lot of time left.
No one's mad at Tom Brady for being a narcissist,
not
at least
all.
Not in New
England. That's
you know?
My point. Tom Brady quit and came back and quit again. Like, so nobody's tripping.
Yeah, when you're the GOAT, you can do whatever you want.
What's Buddy's name that's giving the Jets all the grief?
Aaron Rodgers.
Aaron Rodgers is giving the Jets grief. Nah. I think, you know what it reminds me of? I don't know if y'all watched. Remember Puffy making the band? When he used to have them doing stupid stuff, he said, we're not going to the studio unless you bring me two boxes of Juju Fruits and a pink balloon.
That's Aaron Rodgers.
That's Aaron Rodgers right now. And then he tried to retract and talk about, no, I didn't ask for that. Okay, if you didn't, why haven't you signed with the Jets yet, bro?
Yeah, he's a narcissist. That is the way to say it.
Yeah.
Here's some more on Lurie on Jalen Hurts, because you could hear it. I mean, the Eagles are making it very clear, we're going to be fine paying this quarterback, even though it failed with Wentz, and it failed Michael Vick when they paid him. We're going to be fine paying this quarterback, because this quarterback's different.
The future is so great for him. He's 24 years old. Honestly, I don't know if I've ever met somebody that mature at age 24. I'd like to think I have, you know, my son's 27. He's very mature. No, Jalen's the most mature 24-year-old I've ever come across. So it's different. This is each franchise quarterback's different. But, you know, I've always said to you guys, you know, quarterback, GM, coach, facilities, stadium, scouting, those kind of things. Those are the keys. And, you know, once you can find it, that's when you're really excited. And
you
so
hold on.
We'll be working with Jalen, I'm sure, for a long time.
Yeah, I mean, Jalen Hurts is getting paid. I mean,
you
that
hold
yeah.
on to it once you find that.
You don't let that go.
You don't let it go.
The other thing I thought of, Hugh, when he mentioned the hunger thing, how hungry Jalen Hurts is, and you yeah. mentioned ice here. I never thought Carson Wentz particularly loved football. He was obviously good for a while, but he had other interests. He does a hunting show with his brother. He had a charity, which is all great. I'm not saying anything, especially the charity thing. Nothing wrong with it, but mm-hmm. his interests were just varied,
it was
right?
Different. It was
yeah,
different.
He did other things.
And he had other stuff, you know, that was personal to him, not taking shots at his personal beliefs or anything like that. That was personal to him that he kind of put in the forefront.
That was his priority.
Yeah, that was his priority. And that's all fine and great. I'm not poo-pooing any of that. But, you know, when you have all that going and you have people feeling like your priority shouldn't be with the team that gave you the money to help catapult your beliefs and everything, then that's a bad spot to be in. There's balance in everything that we do.
Yeah, and I think that what you just mentioned there, his personality is a lot of it different from some of the other guys. It made it harder for him to be able to grab a hold of that locker room and become
and
a leader.
He
couldn't relate to anybody. I mean, he was just a different guy.
The other thing, every player has their own life, right? An interest. They're all different. But I tend to believe the best quarterbacks, you are the most dedicated. Like Peyton Manning was obsessed with football. Tom
yes.
Brady, I mean, look, I don't know what happened in his personal life. He may have lost his wife because he was just obsessed with keep playing football.
Yeah.
Jalen Hurts is obsessed with football. I want my quarterback to think about nothing but football.
Yeah, he did lose his wife.
Yeah. Tom made a choice.
She with the bujitsu dude.
Yeah. Tom made a choice.
I would have to fight him. I would definitely.
Yeah, but that's a tough fight. I mean,
yeah, but you got to swing. Like, Joe, if you might take an L, but you still got to swing.
That's a tough L, though. Jiu-jitsu's no joke, though.
But see, you got to sneak him. You can't square up because, you know, if he square up and he get in that bujitsu stage,
you're done. You're done. I mean, that's
but a... you got to at least test it. You got to try.
I know, but that's adding the injury to the insult.
He took your wife, though. He took your wife.
It's rough. Not good for Tom. Let's talk to Tone, Southwest Philly. What's up, Tone?
What's up, Tone?
Hey, big dog. Let me tell you something. Hey, Hugh.
What's up?
I want to see you in the back alley, all right? I'm going to leave that alone, though. You know what I mean? You're probably going to kick my ass, but I don't care. At least you dug this. You know what I mean? I'm sorry. I get y'all mixed up.
Hey, you know what's funny? Hollis weighs like 100 pounds more than I do, but we still get mixed up.
I know. I know you're going to get me, but guess what? I'm going to get you, too. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I got you.
That's the streets, but I love your thing with Philly. You were so good on the air. You were so good. Well, what you do, man?
Appreciate you. Appreciate you.
And I'm stroking you right now, and if you know what I'm saying. You know what I mean? That's real whack.
Appreciate you. Appreciate you.
You know what I mean? But the thing is, when you get to Embiid with the Joker, I'm going sideways here.
Okay.
What do you think about that?
I like, for me, and I've said this on numerous occasions, it's for me, it's the competitive nature of me. Would have had me out there, would have had me prepare for that game because I know that that's my direct chance to show people that I'm better than Jokic. That's what I would have done.
Huh?
Yeah, that's what I would have done. I would have played. It's different between being hurt.
A calf injury?
A calf injury is it? No, he had calf soreness. It's not an injury. Injury.
Okay.
Being hurt and being injured are two different things.
Okay.
Being injured is like, say, if he had a calf tear. His calf was tight. His calf was sore.
So you think he could have played?
Listen, I don't know. I'm just saying, me as a competitor.
Between me and you, because I know how you do this.
No, what I'm saying is this: if everybody at this time of year is hurt,
right? This time, I love that.
Everybody at this time of year is hurt. Now, if it's a slight tear or something like that, or if it's just soreness. I'm going to go ahead and put some Bengay on that thing. I'm going to rest for the next couple days,
man.
And I'm going to play. That's me.
That's what I'm talking about. I'm going to play.
That's what I'm going to play.
Yeah, and Tony, if he plays tonight and he played Saturday and he didn't play Monday, it means he could have played.
When you win the chip, when you win the MVP.
Yeah, I mean, it's a matter of want to. It's a matter of want to be out there.
I want your synopsis, even if you cut me off. I want your synopsis.
About what? The championship?
About Embiid and the Joker. Could he tear him up again?
Well, they could see each other in the finals. Tony should have played.
I'm not looking at color. I'm looking at what's for real, what we see on the floor.
Who's the better player, you're asking?
I'm asking you.
Yeah, I think Joel Embiid's the better overall player. Tony, we appreciate the phone call. I think Joel Embiid's the better overall, both sides of the basketball player. But guess what? Here's the bottom line. Jokic plays more. It's a regular season award. That's why he's going to win the MVP again. He plays more.
What time is it?
Time? It's
a little early.
It's noon. It's Wednesday. We're halfway through the week.
Hump day.
It's hump day. Plus, you got to get it in early. Hey, make the afternoon go by fast. So let's talk to Mike in North Philly as we discuss Castellanos' bounce back and, of course, everyone on Joel Embiid. What's up, Mike? Mike, you're up, buddy.
Hey, what's up?
What's going on, Mike?
I got cut off yesterday with the Nick Sirianni interview.
My bad.
Mike, sorry. We'll blame Sirianni for that. How dare he jump in on you, Mike? What are you feeling today?
Right. So my thing is, all right, so let me start from the top. We don't know when the Cavs thing started. It could have started four games before that. So, and he might have played through that. But then when it got to the Joker, you know what I mean, it got worse. So why would he play half-ass if he knew – if Joker was injured too, yeah, I would have played. Why would I play against a healthy Joker and I'm half-ass right now? And then we can't question his toughness. The man had two broken faces, the knee injury all in the playoffs, right? He always dives around. He puts his body on the line every night.
Yeah, he's physically tough. No, I don't think anyone called him physically soft.
Nobody said he was soft, but
you're making – You questioned that.
Listen, you're not listening. You didn't listen to what I said. I said, and you kind of dance around. Okay, if your calf was tight 4 or 5 days before, right? You know the schedule, right? You know this game is coming. Guess what? Guess what? I wouldn't have done. I wouldn't have played in those two games. I'd have got ready for my matchup with the Joker.
Wait a minute, Hill. Wasn't we trying to get that second seed, bro? Come on,
bro.
We were trying to get the second seed.
Okay, what was in the games that you played in the two back to backs? What was your record?
Yeah, we lost. So then when it got to Joker, it got out of reach, right? So he said, you know what? I'm not going to lose MVP and compromise not getting the second seed. I'm going to get my rest.
That to me makes no sense. And let me tell you why. Listen to what I'm about to say. Because my primary goal, or I would say, let's say in this case, my secondary goal, was to win the MVP, right?
Yes.
And my direct competition was Nikola Jokic, right?
Right.
I know this game is coming up, and I know how important these games are coming up, but that, for me, as far as one of my goals, I have direct control over that. So if it's me, I'm not planning those two games so that I can be prepared to be at my best at this time in the season so that I can see that man and show everybody that I'm better than him. That's what I would have done. That's me. But no, that's me as a competitor. That's me.
Why would you put your secondary goal over top of your main goal?
Because you know why? Because it's obviously something that he wants to accomplish. Because he said that. What you about to say? I'm sorry.
But then you would have called him selfish.
I didn't. No, I wouldn't. No. Wait a minute. Let's get this straight. Joe would have called him selfish.
That's right.
I would have looked at it like you've made it clear since I've been here. Since I've been here in Philadelphia. It has been clear to me that this is something, by him saying it, that means something to him, correct? He said that, he wants to win MVP. So this is something.
He also went on record saying that he didn't care about it.
But Mike, come on. I mean, he does this all the time. Mike, he almost cried on the court last year when he didn't win the MVP. Like, he cares about it.
Well, he's always crying. You know that.
That's true. Yeah, we could agree on that. He's emotional.
But Mike, my biggest thing was this. For your point to be made, I don't know what it is that he's trying to accomplish. That's my thing, and that's why I wanted somebody to help me understand. Because you, at one hand, you said you wanted to be the MVP, right? And then you had a direct opportunity to change some fans voting or some writers voting by playing against him, and you don't. That's what I question.
What I think he would have hurt it by playing hurt and not being at full strength to dominate the Joker. And one more thing, he also didn't have Harden Harden gives him additional 12 points with his pick and rolls and his floor general thing.
I'm talking about a one-on-one individual matchup. And to your point, Mike, He didn't have to play in those other two games.
Yeah,
though.
I mean, that's the point that I don't understand. Like, we're trying to follow the train of logic, right? Like, okay, the playoffs, the season, the team is more important than the MVP. There's no logic to playing back-to-back games on a bum calf. Like, it doesn't make sense what he did.
Well, wait a minute. I said he was trying to get the second seed. Okay, listen, my last point, right? He didn't have Harden to give him an additional 12 points. Mm-hmm. And everybody loves the Joker's triple doubles, right?
Yeah.
So if he would have played bad, and then you say, "Oh well, Embiid only had 20," and
why are we? We're making things. We're making up scenarios now. Here's the truth: he didn't play. He didn't play in the game. That's it. So what are we supposed to say? He didn't play.
And that's good. That's what I'm saying.
Well, that's fine. But then I don't want to hear one. And no one better call in a month from now when Jokic wins the MVP again and say and complain. Joel could have. He lost the MVP. He lost it.
How Joker get three MVPs, not even been...
Because he plays more. Mike, it's a regular season award. It is a regular season. It's a regular season award for dominance and excellence in the regular season. Jokic dominates more because he plays more. I'm tired of the whining about the MVP. If he wants the MVP, go play 75 games.
This year he did.
No, he didn't, Mike. He won't even get to 70 games, Mike. He won't get to 70. He doesn't play enough to win the award. Like, we got to stop this. Give him the MVP because he's the best player.
Y'all done got on Joe's nerves.
We just make up criteria. We just make it up.
Well, so I do find it funny because a lot of people are saying, like, oh, he's sacrificing the MVP for health in the playoffs. But, and this is, you know, to play devil's advocate against myself.
He better play good in the playoffs.
Well, he better be healthy in the playoffs. Well, I mean, this doesn't guarantee that he does stay healthy throughout the playoffs.
You need to start charting everybody that's riding for Joel Embiid. I hope it doesn't happen. But, boy, if this thing goes south in the playoffs, I need to hear from all y'all.
I'm fronting the charge. Afternoons, he's got my back.
Hey, if he misses a game because he said he broke his pinky toe, he broke a nail on his pinky toe, boy, I want y'all to ride just as hard.
I mean,
celebrate all the stuff he does well.
I mean, at this point, I feel like Ike's wearing an Embiid jersey during the show. I mean, this guy, he's defending this guy to the heavens.
How about he walks in right? What's up, brother? Yeah, I heard y'all bashing your Joel Embiid. I'm like, seriously, Ike? Seriously?
Well, he's already set it up.
He's been changed.
Well, he doesn't like Harden, so he's setting it up. It's Harden's fault.
He changed you,
man.
Wow.
He's not the Ike I used to know.
He did tell me he came back here and told me to keep fighting the good fight. So
is that what he did?
Yeah, he did.
Okay.
Yep. Right.
Yeah, he undermining our show, man. I can't believe he's doing that, man.
215-592-9494. That's how you hop in. We'll come back. Castellanos, so you're buying the bounce back. Obviously, the Embiid defenders are still out. And really interesting comment from Jeffrey Lurie that should give us insight on how they have been and will continue to approach the offseason. Something that he said yesterday really caught our attention. All that coming up, 215-592-9494. It is the Midday Show on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Offenses dominate in this league. We had an outstanding defense this year. I think we were number two in defense, number three and number one or two in pass defense, and record number of sacks, and outstanding defense, outstanding offense. I mean, it was why we dominated the season. You come to games with great quarterbacks and Brady, Mahomes, Jalen, Nick Foles when he played that day. Offenses dominate in this league.
I think we just found out Jeff Lurie is a listener to the show. Welcome back. Midday show here on WIP. Hugh Douglas, Joe Giglio, 215-592-9494. Back to Lions in just a second here on Embiid, which is always part of the conversation this week. Of course, Nick Cassianos, are you buying a bounce back? We'll get the Daily Mock at 1 o'clock coming up at 1. But Hugh, Jeff Lurie yesterday, I mean, he's been listening to what you're saying. It's all about offense.
Yeah, man, I'm telling you, that's where the league is going. If you got the quarterback, you put as much talent around him as you possibly can and take it from there.
When I heard him say that, Hugh, it made me wonder. We'll do our daily mock at 1 o'clock. But we've been doing a lot of these mock drafts, and I would say most of them have the Eagles taking defensive players at 10 and at 30. Most of them. Maybe it's split. Maybe some of them have 1 and 1. But I would say more often than not, Hugh, we're getting two defensive players every day in our mock. But you hear Jeff Lurie talk about that. How the league is all about offense. And he basically said, like, we had a really good defense and it didn't matter in the Super Bowl.
I don't care about that defense.
Yeah, and made me wonder if that is the feeling over at the NovaCare Complex. And if it is you, I would not be shocked if one or both, but at least one of those first round picks is again on offense.
Yeah, man. I mean, you know, you look at potentially what this offense can be. You know, we've been talking about Bijan Robinson and the fact that, you know, you're talking about potentially putting him on this offense. I can see a scenario where they add more weapons and just go out there and try to just outscore people 30 to 40 points a pop every game. I can see that.
Well, they already have the base of a really good offense, right? So if they just add, like, you know, the couple areas where they may be weaker, maybe guard, we talked about that on offense, maybe another wide receiver, maybe a running back like a Bijan, who I think Kyle is every day thinking more and more about the idea of drafting Bijan. You hear him say that, like, it makes me think that that's where they're going to put all their resources. I mean, they already have put a lot. I mean, think about the offense. Jalen Hurts, second-round pick. A.J. Brown was a first-round pick. They traded for him, and they gave him $100 million. Devontae, first-round pick. I mean, they put their money where their mouth is. They spend their resources mostly on offense.
Yeah, I mean, because that's where it's going. And you talk about, and we've talked about how this offense could evolve and be that much better if you added one or two more weapons. And I would even say that Dallas Goedert could be a bigger factor in this thing as well if you put some more talent out there around them. So it's one of those things. It's not as far-fetched as some people might feel. I know it's not a sexy pick, and people will look at it, they'll probably shake their head, but I could definitely see them doing that offensively.
Well, I could too. I wonder, just off the top of my head, I wonder how many of their first and second-round picks over the past 8 or 10 years have been offense. I'd guess like 65 or 70%.
Maybe.
A lot. It feels like
right.
A lot.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Miles was second-round pick. Dallas, second-round pick. Hurts, second-round pick. Rager, first round. Devontae, first round. They've spent a lot of those on offense.
And it's starting to feel like, you know, defensively, you know, they have some guys that they've picked. You know, you're talking about the Brandon Grahams and the Fletcher Coxes. But they want to go out on other squads and pick other guys from other teams that potentially were not going to be signed, or teams that are like, you know, kind of look at it like baseball. they're sellers at the trade deadline. Mm-hmm. They're trying to sell some players off and move some players around. So maybe they're looking at doing that and just putting the best offense they can on the field at every year.
Well, three of their best defensive players, Hugh, they got that way, right? Like, they signed Reddick,
yes,
as a free agent, and no one kind of realized how good he was. They traded for Slay. They signed Bradbury when the Giants cut him. Like, their best defense players, other than the older guys, like Brandon and the guys they drafted a million years ago, they got them from other teams.
Yeah, like hired guns, so to speak. Hired guns.
Yeah, I'm looking right now. So I went back and looked. First and second round picks over the last, how many years should we go back? 5, 6 years? How we came back into power? 16?
Yeah, 16, yeah, after 15.
All right. So so since Howie became the GM again, they have spent I'd say it's actually probably closer to like 70 or 80% of their first and second round picks on offense.
Mm-hmm. I mean, the ones that they've taken on defense have been not good, too.
Barnett, Sidney Jones.
Yeah, I mean, they've hit more on the offensive guys, too, than they had the defensive guys. I think that's a fact.
Yeah, obviously, Jordan Davis last year was a defensive guy, but it's certainly something to keep an eye on as they plot their next move and the draft and all that. We'll do Daily Mock at 1 o'clock coming up. At 1 o'clock, and it's an interesting one today. 215-592-9494. Let's check in on our Twitter poll here, at WIP Midday Show. Are you buying into the idea of a Nick Castellano bounce-back season? 70% are on yes.
They're being positive.
That's a stupid question.
Yeah, a lot of Kool-Aid this morning.
There you go. It's going to be a lot of people that are going to be positivity when he comes to the bank next week.
I hope.
Positive.
Well,
that's all right. That's all right, Nick. It's going to be okay. Your third strikeout, okay. Hey, it's okay. They're going to clap for him, real.
It's okay.
Yeah. Just don't let it happen again.
Well, if that's the case, if he strikes out in his first at bat and he's not booed, he better have coming into that game hitting .375 with three home runs.
Yeah, or with a college degree.
Yeah. Well, I think .375, three homers is more likely.
Just, hey, it's okay. It's going to be okay, Nick. Everything's going to be all right.
Yeah, no big deal.
Hey, we know you're just waiting to warm up. It ain't warm yet. Even though it's going to be like 60.
Yeah, it'll be plenty warm.
We're not doing the cold weather excuse. No. We already have one guy who gets the cold weather excuse. Aaron Nola already gets the cold weather excuse. You can't have multiple guys on the same team with the cold weather.
It's going to be cold.
I know you're scarred by the cold weather thing and the below freezing temperatures, but
listen,
I'm sorry I had to bring that up.
It's not natural to be playing baseball when it's cold.
I agree with that. But Nola tomorrow gets to start in a dome in Texas. I don't want to hear any excuses tomorrow.
That's right. There you go.
We got to get good Aaron Nola tomorrow. Let's go to the phone lines here. Jerry. Jerry's up. What's up, Jerry?
Jerry.
There it is.
Jerry. Big Worm here. What's up, guys?
What's going on, man? How you doing?
I'm doing. Heading to Forest Park, Georgia. Hey, you know where that's at?
I've heard of Forest Park, Georgia. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I'm heading right down. Getting ready to head down that way. But I want to weigh in on my boy Castellanos.
Okay, what are you thinking?
Okay,
Castellanos.
You can't tell me that he's not going to have the same year he had last year. There's no way possible this guy can go 2 years in a row having the same type of year based on his career stats, based on what he's done in the past. He's what, a 274, 280 lifetime hitter with, what, 25, 30 home runs?
Yeah, about that. I mean, yeah, Jerry, he's averaged about 60 extra base hits a year, and last year he had like 40.
I know, because, I mean, there's a lot of guys that change teams and change to go to different cities and don't do well the first year. And I believe he's in one of those he's in that category. I mean, just look at the back of his baseball card. I mean, it's just, you know, it's just, you can't tell me that he's not going to not be any better. I mean, hell, if we get a half or a little more of last year, we're still going to be on the good side because he's going to be able to take up, if he does what he potentially can do, he's going to take up the slack that Reese Hoskins that we're going to miss to a point.
Jerry, that I'm sure deep down the Phillies hope that, right? Like, yeah, they're going to miss Reese, and that's a big bet to lose. But if Castellanos goes back to just close to his normal, that's a lot of production that he'll get there.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I love the guy. I mean, you know, what did he say at his press conference when he first came here? I don't have a college degree. I just hit baseball.
I don't have a college degree. I hit baseballs.
Yeah, no, that's just what he does. So that's what he's going to do this year, and he's going to help get us to the NL East championship, and he's going to get us keep going. I just can't see him not doing that. If he does, then
then he's got some real issues going on.
Well, that's for sure.
That we don't know about. But,
yeah.
Man, I truly believe that he's going to take us to where we need to be.
Well, I hope you're right, Jerry.
I'll let you guys go. I appreciate you.
Appreciate you, man.
One more for the road.
Thanks, love it, sir. Jerry. Safe drive. Jerry's all in. Jerry believes.
You got to believe, man. It's hope springs eternal.
That's well. That's the
flowers are blooming
today and tomorrow. That's
no,
it, right?
No.
The flowers are blooming.
I got a message from a listener telling said he has some inside info on Castellanos.
Yeah, I saw that comment too. It's actually a little interesting with the timing.
Yeah, that he came here because he liked Girardi. He wanted to play for Girardi. He wanted a DH, and both of those things went out the window. You know, deal with it.
Like, yeah, I mean, come on, you got to grow up a little
bit.
You're making
money,
$100 million.
Yeah, you got $100 million.
I mean, and it's safe to say that he's adjusted since then because hell, he off to play first base.
Well, was the Girardi connection really like? He has more of a connection with Dombrowski than he ever did Girardi.
Sure, yeah. So Dombrowski drafted him in Detroit.
Right. So I don't know.
The only thing is, Girardi's like a South Florida guy. Maybe they connected over the years down there.
You know what? It all makes sense that Nick Castellanos is a Florida guy. I'm not trying to bash any of our listeners.
Well, you know, Florida is different.
We felt that last week when we were there. It's different.
Yeah.
Castellanos being from Florida fits, yeah.
Florida's different. Read a lot of news down there about Florida where we were there. And I just shook my head like, interesting.
Well, it's one of those things where you read a crazy story like, where's that person from? Florida.
Oh, Florida man, Florida gal.
And we'll get right back on topic after this, but I the Ken Francis thing, that Lamar Jackson saga. My favorite part of that whole thing was Tom Pelissero. Like, yeah, Ken Francis is a Florida man. I'm like, now it's all making sense.
His make-believe agent, Ken Francis, or whatever that's going on
that
there.
That makes total sense.
Yeah, well, the Lamar situation is just off the rails. As he requested a trade in the middle of the owner's meetings yesterday, or said he did. And no team seems to want him. Let's go to Self in North Philly. What's up, Self?
Self. Perfect lot, perfect key. What's going on?
What's going on, my man?
What's up, Self?
Hey, man, listen, I got 3 points to make. I'm going to make them real fast, right? The last one is the most important, though. First off, Embiid. The next time I hear about Embiid, I want to hear about who we're trading him for. Like, I don't care. I'm tired of it. Listen, you got logic and you got emotion. I'm a logical dude. This dude is soft, man. He's not built for Philadelphia. You know what I mean? And if he goes somewhere else, I guarantee you he won't do the numbers he's doing here. He won't play the games he's playing here. It's been proven. Al did the same thing. Went somewhere else, fell off. You know what I mean? Only difference between Embiid and Al is Al had heart. And I got to give him that. He had heart. Embiid has no heart, dude. He has no heart. Now, as far as I'm tired of hearing this is an offensive league in football. It's always been an offensive league. Again, I'm a logical individual. I play football, man. It's always been about offense. However, defense hypes it up. Now, they used to say defense wins games. Defense never won you games. Offense always won you games. Defense held the game, right? And now I'm hearing that running, passing wins games and running sustain the game. No, it doesn't. It takes a balance to do them both to open up one or the other. Yeah, I mean, I don't know where this whole offense is an offensive-minded game. It's always, how else the hell are you going to score? How else are you going to win? That makes no logical sense. It's always been an offensive game. They've always paid, if you go back, hell, maybe 50 to 100 years of whatever, however long football been out, you'll see that offensive players have always been priority. So the idea that this is now an offensive league makes no sense.
Well, here's what's changed. I agree with you. You're right. The star offensive player has always been the priority, but now it's the passing game more than the running game, right? Like you used to be able to have a star running back and you win that way. Now you need the star quarterback.
Yeah, even the running game has evolved. It's not so much more. You still need a running game in December, January. No question about
that. Like what the Chiefs did to the Eagles.
Yeah,
the
you need that. But that running back has to be versatile. He has to be able to catch out of the backfield. But when you look at the game now, Self, the receivers and the quarterback are the ones that make the most money in the offensive line.
That's the only thing changed, though, Hill, because if you go back, look, you tell me any Hall of Fame player or any Super Bowl winning team that didn't have a good quarterback.
Now, it's rare.
You're talking about you mean a quarterback, a team that went it before they didn't have a quarterback? Oh, I can name a few right
on
top.
No. Before I say that, because I know Hostetler, Eli
Dilfer, Manning. Dilfer.
Yeah, Dilfer, yeah.
Now, but see, what complemented that, though, was the run game.
The defense.
And you had to have a run game. You had to have a running back. But see, you're right, the defense. So, again, football is always going to be football, gentlemen. Like, they can the terminology they use, they can do all day, right? But it's always going to be a balanced game if you want to win and sustain. If the Chiefs had no running game, they wouldn't have won that Super Bowl. They wouldn't have won it. If they didn't have a running game to fall back on, depend on, or whatever the case may be, they wouldn't have won it.
Yeah, they gashed the Eagles. I mean, they really did run all over them.
Yeah, but there was more with the passing running game than it was the actual running game. The running game was a factor. The running game became more of a factor when Patrick Mahomes took off. But, man, to me, I hear what you're saying, Self, but the game has evolved to the point where what really hurt us was the adjustment to the quick passing game. The fact that, you know, you had this phenomenal pass rush that, you know, they got off of blocks, but they weren't getting there in time. Mm-hmm. And that's what really hurt them. So, you know, I hear what you're saying, but to have the quarterback that can realize, you know, pick the holes out of the defense and be able to get the ball in the hands of the playmakers and them to make plays the way that they did, that was the key to that game. Because when you look at it, we were, like, athletically, especially on the defensive side of the ball, in my opinion, we were better. We were better outside of, say, the quarterback. We were better.
Agreed. But here's one thing real quick, and then I need to get to this last point, which is I won't hold you, but I need to get to this last point.
Gotcha.
But to answer that, to rebuttal that, right, that wasn't the pass rush wasn't the cause. The coaching was. Because if you could do – I said this the whole season, that Jeff Kent, that whatever his name is, defense.
Gannon.
I try not to say his name. That had holes in it. If you can do those quick passes on slant slots, and you know what I mean? The pass rush can't get there fast enough. But that was the fall of that type of defense, that style of defense, and that's why he's going to suck as a head coach. But anyway, this last point, right? I seriously want to thank y'all, too, for bringing the type of radio show that you have, right? Because I was listening to one of the shows yesterday that come on after y'all, won't say no names, and I listened to a host actually hang up on a caller. That was the most rude and disrespectful thing I've ever seen or heard on radio. And it's done so arrogantly, and it leaves a bad taste in my mouth because some dude, you know, Frisk the Cat, hung up on me when I called there before. And I was on my way to Chickies and Pete's until my brother, Will of God, talked me off the ledge.
Well, Self,
we don't know. Hold on. Just like we don't know y'all hosts, y'all don't know us callers. And some of us out here is real. And we take it, you know what I mean, as a man.
Sure. No, I understand, Self, we got that. And listen, I just want to say, for every host can handle their show the way they want. And sometimes anyone can hang. I mean, look. The host can hang up when they're done with the conversation. That's okay. I'm not going to say anything about our fellow hosts. They can choose when the conversation ends. That's their business. As far as Self's feelings on it all, that's Self's feelings on it all.
Yeah, well, Self, we will talk because we can't do that no more, man. We're too old for that. we too old for that. I hear what you're saying. And sometimes I feel you, but Self, we can't do that, man.
Yeah, we
got too much to lose.
We all got to be friends around here.
We got to be friends. I hear you, though. I understand that. I struggle with that on a daily basis.
Yeah, listen, we're WIP, it's a community. Us, yeah. You, some of us are crazy. Some of us are neither emotional fish. Like, we're it's a community.
Yeah, we go, Self, I'm going to get you a fish, dog. I'm going to get you.
No, we love Self.
I like the fact that you call us every day, so we don't need you getting in trouble, man. So just think about it like that.
Yeah. No one getting in trouble.
We can disagree or agree, but we ain't going to hang up on you, but we don't need nobody getting in trouble.
Yeah, and I don't want to pick a fight with the guys who are on it, too. I mean, you know.
Oh, because, you know, Ike want to fight. Like, Ike has been, like, seriously, Ike's been picking fights for the last couple of days,
No, we
man.
Can have fun, but they can handle their show however they want.
Right,
that's
yeah.
their business.
Yeah,
no. I'm not criticizing how they handle their callers and their show. One thing Self said there, though, that I think is interesting about the defense still mattering. Here's my thing, and Hugh, I agree with you, and Lori's saying it. Like, I think we all could see it, right? It's an offensive league.
Yeah.
But one thing I keep trying to bring up, though, is I think offenses will win you the Super Bowl, but defenses help you get there.
Yeah.
They won like 5 games last year, and they got the number 1 seed because they won close, low-scoring games. Like, that's going to be harder to do with a defense that's not as good.
Good defense is a luxury, not a necessity.
But it helps you get there.
I tell you, you know what's funny about the regular season as opposed to the postseason? It's just like the NBA. It becomes more of a running game because now the emphasis is on, you know, guys are a little banged up, yeah. They're sore. They're making business decisions. They don't want to make those tackles, especially if you got a horse back there running the football.
Well, that's for sure.
They want to make business decisions. But I hear you, man. It's the quarterback has to be the guy that in dire situations, he has to make plays. And when you go back to you talk about of the Super Bowl games of late, it's always been a big play that the quarterback has made, throwing it to a big-time receiver or something like that. It's very rarely the running back is the focal point. I mean, he's a factor, but he's not the focal point. The focal point has always been, over the last few Super Bowls, the fact that, you know, hey, the offense is scoring points. Let me tell you, and it was something that I wanted to mention yesterday that Howard brought up. He was talking about how hard it is to go back to the Super Bowl in the second year. The Cincinnati Bengals almost did that, man.
If not for a
roughing the passer penalty. Like that's what killed them, but they were on track to break that curse. So, you know, and look how they started the season out. But once they got it together and started throwing the ball all over the schoolyard, they were phenomenal. So, yeah, I thought about that yesterday, man, because, you know, we were talking about how hard it is to go back to the Super Bowl. But they almost went back.
They were very – I mean, I think if he doesn't push him out of bounds there, that game's – is it going overtime? I think it was tied, right?
Yeah, it was tied.
Yeah, I mean – like, they were that close. I mean, I thought the Bengals were going to win that game. Yeah. I mean, they were that close. So, yeah, I mean, the idea that the Eagles are screwed next year and they're going to have a bad season is silly. I mean, like, they should be one of the best teams in the NFL. Now, do they get all the way back and win it? I don't know. We got to see how this thing shapes out and the schedule and home field and all that. But, yeah, they certainly have a real chance to get back there. Yeah, to your point, you, about the quarterback slate in Super Bowls, just look at the last two, right? Mahomes making all the plays. And then the year before, it was Stafford or Cooper Kupp to win the game.
Yes, man, and I tell you, it's a hard pill to swallow, but that's the consensus. That's the thought process of most GMs, most teams in the NFL. You got to have that guy. You got to have that guy.
Yeah, and yesterday during the press conference, Lurie said twice, you know, he kind of almost tongue-in-cheek, like 1:43 to go, we wish we had the ball. Like, they walk away from that Super Bowl the way everyone in Philadelphia does. They wish Jalen Hurts got the ball one more time.
So we were built for it. Built for it.
They really believed they were going down to score to win the game.
I think they did too. And you could almost, like, I don't know if either of you guys watched the mic'd up from the Eagles side of the Super Bowl loss. I know for some it might still be too painful, but man, that team really, until, like, even after the hold, they were like, we have a chance to go win this game. I mean, even when, because I think the final play was a Hail Mary by Jalen Hurts that he kind of noodle armed up the field.
He stepped on Kelsey's foot.
Yeah. So,
he said whatever. That was a whatever.
But I do remember seeing, like, they're like, all right, like, hey, we got to get to this point so we can throw the Hail Mary. Like, they were thinking about how they could win that game up until the very last second.
Yeah, and they believed if they. I mean, that's why it was so deflating when you kind of realized that the time situation off after the penalty and when McKinnon slid at the 1 yard line, it was like, there's not enough time. Like, they were out of time, and it was deflating. 215-592-9494. That's how you hop board. You're buying in to a Nick Castellanos bounce back. A lot of Embiid discussion again today. And, of course, you know what we got to do next. A daily mock at 1 o'clock, which I think is sweeping the nation, because the one we're going to use today was actually a listener-submitted mock. Now, it's not like a mock someone made it in their house. I mean, like, someone found one. They sent it to us. We're going to use it. It's an interesting one, and it kind of plays what we're talking about. It's all about offense. 215-592-9494. It's how you hop aboard. It's the Midday Show. Sports Radio 94 WIP.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the pitch, hit, and run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.